episode 173.
But also somebody who is going to fit into the mix of the chemistry we have going on here at our shop. You could be the best employee in the world, but if you're rocking the boat all the time, or you're just not fitting into our chemistry here, then it just doesn't work out.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriato here, and thank you for listening to Remarkable Results Radio, heard on subscription services like Apple iTunes, Google Play Music, Spreaker, and Stitcher Radio. And welcome to episode 173 with shop owner Nick Modesti. The interviews are brought to you each week by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Now, when you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. With brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Champion, Sealed Power, FP Diesel, and more, they're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. I love doing these interviews for you. I get excited and engaged over every interview because the success stories, trends, and insights from our guests can trigger ideas or actions to spur you to change or power drive your to-do list. And for me, that mighty approach makes it all worthwhile. When you distill it down, every guest tells their story. How many times are you afforded the opportunity to get a chance to hear a narrative or views on how a peer sees the world around them? And that's why you're here, engaged and wanting to learn as much as you can about our beloved industry and your professional and personal growth. Now meet Nick Modesti from Modesti's Car Care Center in Culver City, California. Find Nick's show page at remarkableresults.biz/E173. Nick is second-generation family in this 42-year legacy shop. Nick's dad and mom, John and Colette, started the business that has a strong family culture as the foundation of the business. Nick shares his marketing efforts, his implementation of a DVI program, why having a business coach is one of his best decisions, and how he bonuses his team for achieving training goals. He also talks about their Peace of Mind warranty program and much more. In June 2016, Nick was selected as the ASCCA Member of the Month and was recently elected to serve on the ASCCA State Board of Directors. Now get ready for Nick Modesti and his thoughts of including the third generation into the family business. I'd like you to meet second-generation family member from Modesti's Car Care Center in Culver City, California. With a strong family culture that emanates to their customer base, my guest is the business manager of this 8-lift, 4-bay operation with a 42-year legacy. Hey, please welcome Nick Modesti.
Well, thank you, Carm. It's great to be here today.
Hey, glad to have you here. Are you ready to share your remarkable family results?
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Wow, cool. 42 years family business, and in our pre-call, you told me that your daughter's in the business.
Yes.
And that means third generation, huh? Third generation.
That's right.
Cool is that. Now, what's her job? What is her role?
Well, she is, I originally hired her as my my assistant, essentially. So
okay.
She does the paperwork and stuff that I don't like to do, or that I don't have time to do. And at the same time, sent her to the Elite Service Advisor Mastery class.
Wow.
For 6 months. She aced that. She was the top of her class. I'm proud of her for that. What she's doing now is she's answering phones. She does help customers from time to time. She works here part-time, not full-time. She's young, in her early 20s and still figuring things out. We'll stay tuned and see how it goes.
Recently, one of my episodes with Mark Goldsmith talked about him hiring a millennial service writer. And your daughter's a millennial. And it really had a really major and big effect for him. And in fact, it forced him off of his counter. But you can listen to it in that episode. So let's talk about the culture. When I spoke to you on our pre-call, I was so impressed about the family culture that you've created inside and externally. Give us an idea about that customer culture connection.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's ingrained in me. And that comes from the fact that I was, as a young boy, I spent my time here at the shop. I spent a lot of time playing with ball bearings and stuff like that. And there's customers that remember me from when I was very young. And now they're older and they have kids. And
so you mean they watched you grow up in the business?
Yes, they watched me grow up in the business. They remember when I got married. They remember when I had my first child. We are now servicing their grandchildren's carts. So it's been a long time, you know, 30 years or so for me in this business, roughly. And I think because of that, that kind of sets the background to the culture of our business, which is, and this is what, you know, we kind of impress upon our employees, is that, you know, when clients come into our shop, we welcome them warmly. We greet them. We smile. We say hi. We're typically on a first name basis with most of our clients. And it really is. So one of our clients said, you know, this place is a lot like Cheers. You know, everybody knows your name. You know, and that's kind of the culture that we try to promote here.
What a great compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going, wow, that is something.
Good for you. Now, culture, one of the toughest things to do is to create a very strong and powerful internal team member culture. Has it just evolved, or have you really just taken a focus on that and made sure that you hired all the right people that could continue this?
Well, it's a little bit of both of that. It has evolved. It was something that was kind of here, I think, when I started working here full time, and it's just something that never left. When we hire employees, we are very careful about who we hire. I'm not the only person that interviews them. I have our service advisors will interview employees. Sometimes I'll have our technicians and interview employees, and the idea is to find, you know, somebody that we think we can do the job. That's very important, but also somebody who is going to fit into the mix of the chemistry we have going on here at our shop. You can be the best employee in the world, but if you're rocking the boat all the time, or you're just not fitting into our chemistry here, then it just doesn't work out.
Have you ever had a team fire? And by that, I mean, has the team ever come up to you and said, Nick, we made a mistake. You got to fix this?
Yeah. I mean, it happens from time to time, and you deal with it. A lot of times they already know what to do. And a lot of times I'll ask them, well, what do you think we should do? And most of the time they tell me what I would tell them. So that's really what we do in those types of situations. Occasionally I have to be the last word on things, but a lot of times it's just them, you know, they already know what to do.
Yeah, buck stops there. Hey, what's a big concern or threat you may have in the business?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I mean, as you know, we're in California. California is a tricky place for automotive shops. So I've heard and so I've experienced over the years. There is pressures from different angles. We are now, you know, for those of us that have been in the industry long enough, we're kind of, I think we are on that in the precipice, and it's already started where, you know, back in the 80s, we went from carburation to computers to mm-hmm. fuel injection, and that has progressed, and technology is moving, and now we're kind of we're not quite there yet, I don't think, but we're just starting to get to the beginning phase of you know, we hear a lot about autonomous cars. Mm-hmm. We're now changing batteries on cars that have more voltage than my house. Technology like that is coming down. It's coming our way. And we are now in that stage, I think, in our industry where we're going to start to, there's going to be shops that fall away, and there's going to be shops that will be able to make that bridge that gap there in the technology.
Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work, and you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree, vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of Guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus on the Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus on Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And
you mentioned
you
California before, and I thought you may you were going to go into the place and talk about legislation, because I think
this year,
you know, if you have a sniffle, they legislate so that your nose doesn't
run. Gets you points.
Thanks for bringing me back on course here with that. Yes, you're absolutely right. Legislation in California, boy, I don't even know where to begin with that. It is very heavy stuff.
Well, we're not going to do a show on that right now. I really want to find out all about your business. But, you know, we've had a lot of Californians on the show, and they bring some great insight. I'll never forget Dennis Montalbano talking about stuff that was going on, and he shared some legislative things. And here's the thing. What goes on in California actually ends up – I live in New York. New York people just loved it. Oh, California did this. It must be good for New York.
I don't know why that is, but you know, if it happens here, it's going to happen in New York, and then it's going to happen in other places.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back to that whole technology piece – and the ADAS systems that are on the cars today, the Advanced Driver Assistance Systems, does that challenge your techs to say, oh, I can't wait to see this stuff and how it works and, you know, how we can fix it?
I think there's a little bit of apprehensiveness in that, and there's a lot of, you know, what kind of opportunities are we going to have in this this you know, autonomous self-driving stuff. There's definitely, we don't know yet what the opportunities will be, what kind of service items we're going to have to do, what kind of repairs. I mean, how many cameras are we going to have to replace on a car that drives itself? I don't know. There's going to be some definite service opportunities, some repairs, a lot of training, which we're not strangers to that. We look forward to it, but it's a little bit of a question mark right now.
Yeah, you mentioned going back into the 80s and seeing all the new technology coming out and everyone saying, oh my God, what is this, you know, HEI and then the fuel injection stuff that was coming on. And
yeah, that's right.
Look what's going on. Our hubs have wires coming out of them, you know. And today, adaptive lighting, surround view. Lane keeping assist, adaptive cruise, blind spot detection, pedestrian detect, park assist.
Yeah.
Wow. Scratch the noggin.
There's a lot going on there.
And that's all real stuff right now. It's level 3 ADAS, and it's exciting. And I'm doing everything I possibly can to learn it and keep up with it. And when I was in Apex, I went to a bunch of classes to try to best understand it as an industry interviewer. So talk about your business here, your number one supplier. How often do you have a sit-down meeting with them?
I'm fortunate enough to, since I've been in the industry for a while, our number one supplier is Worldpac. We buy a lot of parts from them. We have a very good relationship with them. And our salesman, I have known since before Worldpac existed. So he's known me since I think I was maybe a teenager back then. So we have a very, very good working relationship. I know a lot of the managers there, and we do talk frequently.
So the salesman relationship is important to you?
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. I mean, they, we view them as a partner in the business, not just somebody that we buy parts from. And if they take care of us, they take care of our customers.
Supplier's note, still very important to have great salespeople out there holding relationships. Now, warranty. What do you do for warranty for your customers for parts, and how much does Worldpac support you on it?
Well, we do offer a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Mm-hmm. It's nationwide, and Worldpac backs us on that. And when we made that move, they were only a 2-year, 24,000-mile warranty. Now, I made the decision, as I always have, to expand our warranty beyond what other shops in the area, what the dealers are doing at that time. That was, I want to say that was maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And Worldpac kind of followed that.
They followed your lead.
I don't know if it was us doing that change that caused the change, or if it was just other shops sure. in the industry jumping on board, but I like to think we had an influence there.
I'm hearing an awful lot of 336, and the guys had mentioned, and the ladies who own shops, that they're doing a lot of self-warranty, and the suppliers coming up to help them, and then some suppliers actually went to a 336. But very interesting. It seems like it is a heck of a competitive advantage to have.
It is. You know, it's peace of mind for the customer. It's peace of mind for us when the supplier jumps on board with that. But, you know, we're going to do it regardless. And, you know, typically if the repairs you're doing aren't going to last that long, then, you know, I don't know what to say there. But you know, we're confident in the work that we do. And I think it for our clients, when they see that, it gives them a bit of comfort.
Training.
Yes.
There's something about training culture inside of businesses, and with the customer service culture that you have, your family intimacy with you know, your team and your customers, what are you doing for training?
We do require technicians to have 32 hours per year of training, so 8 hours a quarter. Much of their training is going to come from Worldpac and other training sources.
Online?
There is not too much online. Most of it is classes that they attend.
Okay.
Automotive Training Group is one that's very good. Mm-hmm. We like them a lot. The Worldpac Training Institute classes are very good. So those are a couple of the main training outlets that we have for our technicians. The service advisors and myself also take part in the Worldpac Training Institute classes. Elite Worldwide, we with Bob Cooper, we do some of their classes. The Worldpac Smart Groups with Cecil Bullard, we do a lot of training with them. We're a part of that group. So training's it's a big deal, and I find myself always, you know, I learn stuff, and then I forget stuff, and then I relearn stuff, and I've heard that as a pretty common theme with managers and owners.
You know? Yeah, you know, there's this thing called the forgetting curve.
Yeah, it's happening more and more for me.
Well, I'm just going to give you a bright spot.
Oh, nice.
All well, right. after you know, 30 days, if you don't actually apply what you learned, or you don't go back and reread something and think about it, yeah, it fizzles away to the degree of 70%. So it's all about practice.
Yeah, it's all about, I've heard that
it's all before. About, yeah, it's all about practice, yeah. Is there an incentive if I do the 32 hours and I have a way to prove it to you that I actually have taken the courses? Do you bonus me at all, or is it just part of what they have to do?
Actually, it's kind of a reverse. It's already built into their pay. So okay. If they don't achieve that, then it can affect their pay in a negative way, and that places the responsibility on the employee to make sure that they're doing that. You know, we pay for the training. We pay for their time when they go for training. We pay for hotel, for airfare, for all of that. But they need to have some ownership in the training process. So that's kind of our belief in that.
Nick, is there a technician shortage?
I'm going to say yes. I don't believe there is a shortage of unqualified technicians. I believe there's plenty of them. I could place an ad today and hire somebody tomorrow and end up with someone who does not know how to do what they say they can do. When it comes to technicians that are qualified, that are certified with the Automotive Service Excellence, you know, master technicians, L1s, the people that do this training that we were just talking about, the hours of training that's required, there's very few of them, very few available. And we're all searching for them. And I have one here, and I appreciate them. And boy, is it's definitely something that the industry has to deal with for sure, quickly.
Thanks for qualifying that. Yes, absolutely. I hear what you're saying. So you joined the business probably, I don't know, right out of college?
During high school, actually.
But during that time growing up, what did you really want to grow up and be?
I wanted to surf. I did not.
Beach boys,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, I wasn't the guy that went through the four-year college and had my degree planned out and this and that. Yes, I did some college. I've done a lot of training over the years.
Yeah.
I do have a degree in the School of Hard Knocks and stuff like that when it comes to...
One of the best you could ever have at this at this time of your life, baby.
Yeah. So most of my education has been hands-on learning here, learning from my dad here, you know, that type of learning.
So what's the big issues right now in Modestes?
The big issues right now at Modestes is I think just keeping true to course, keeping our focus on our culture here, keeping the customers coming in the doors in this highly competitive market that we're in here. And that, you know, that's always tricky.
So let's talk about that. What are you doing for marketing and customer retention and to find new customers?
Well, my wife, actually, more family, she is our marketing person. So good. She's the marketing director here. And, you know, most of our marketing that we do is going to be the web presence that we have with Kukui. We've done some direct mail with Mudlick, social media, things like that, and a lot of email marketing that we do internally. My wife does that. So there's a whole lot that goes into that, and it's that I think a lot of shops out there would agree that there is no silver bullet. It's a tricky part of the business.
Multi-pronged approach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right, for sure.
You know that 70% of professional technicians install Moog? Do you know who is best in class in engineering R&D? Do you know who holds 47 patents and has 28 dedicated engineers on staff? Yeah, Moog. You should know that 85% of Moog socket-style components are manufactured in North America, and that makes Moog best in class for manufacturing. And since 1966, every NASCAR championship has been won on Moog parts. But you knew that. I know why you install Moog. They solve your problems. Over the years, Moog has provided problem-solving innovations like a patented pressed-in cover plate, powdered metal gusher bearing technology, compression-loaded ball joints with a pre-installed integral dust boot, and vertical control arm bushings. You know why you install Moog. Enhanced durability, improved performance, and ease of installation. For more information, go to moogparts.com. Now you know. Digital vehicle inspections. Are you using a platform?
Yes, actually we are. We've been using the SmartFlow program from AutoVitals.
Okay.
We started doing that just about maybe a little over a year ago or so. And the reason that we started that was uh, we we wanted that added transparency with clients that, you know, we can now show you what's going on with your car. And we can have a conversation looking at the same thing, even though we're both in two different places. And I thought that was probably the best thing since sliced bread, probably one of the hardest things. And maybe this is a better answer for your last question. You know, the things, the difficult things that are going on right now in the shop is just implementing that and fine tuning it and making it work for us and for our clients. So far, the feedback we've gotten has been really good from the clients. I mean, they love it. They can't believe that we're sending them pictures from their car in a nicely formatted report and then talking to the service advisor about it on the phone. I mean, that's just, it's one of those things that we just had to do, and it was a good choice.
You know, it's an amazing stat. 20% of emails are opened, but 98% of texts are opened. What an amazing stat.
That is, yeah. I guess it's hard to ignore the text.
It is. So the big challenge is to get that DVI going. I mean, you say, hey, it's been a year. Is it that it slowed you down, but you've got more work from it? Is it the disciplines of the text? Give us a high-level look at the challenges that you've had implementing.
Well, it's everything you just mentioned and more. From the technicians, they now have more to do on the same service than what they did before, because now they have to take pictures and such. So it took a little bit of time for us to kind of fine tune and even reorganize internally how we inspected the vehicle. We were very good, I think, at inspecting vehicles before we did the digital inspection, and we had to make it fit kind of our process that we had in place before. And that was tricky at first, and I think now we're finally settling in to a comfort zone with it. You know, so I'm sure there'll be more tweaking to do here and there as we go along. It never stops. You know, you're always tweaking something.
So when you say tweak, are you really saying that you're just continuing to use more and more of the software's capabilities?
There's that you spend a lot of time just figuring out how to do the basics, and now we're finally at the point where we're starting to learn how to use it beyond the basics, you know, for managing our schedule. The service, it's not just for the technicians. The service advisors also have a command center at each of their workstations,
right.
And that's where they control the schedule from. So we're now starting to cross over from using our shop management system to the SmartFlow program to manage our schedule.
You love it. You like it.
I like and love it. Sometimes I hate it. most of the time I really like it. I love it.
Okay. Nick, are you a numbers guy?
I am.
And so what's the biggest KPI you're working on right now?
The biggest KPI I think we're looking at right now, I mean, I look at several, but productivity is definitely one of them. That kind of fits in with the whole SmartFlow, adding that into the shop. You know, we saw a bit of productivity decline when that came in because we were finding our way, and now with the help of our one of our technicians, Rudy, our master technician, he has helped some of the other technicians speed up their process and still give a good quality inspection for the customers. So productivity is a key part of the business. And there are several other KPIs we watch.
Have you seen the average ticket go up?
Actually, yes, we have. We've seen it go up a bit percentage-wise, just under 10%.
Wow. Does that equate
to... It's not a bad deal.
Yeah, does that equate to a 10% growth, though, in sales, too?
Well, yeah.
Wow, so you install a piece of software, you struggle with it, you're frustrated with it, yet your sales are up 10%.
Yeah, not quite 10%, but it's definitely... What we have found is that we... are, I think, because we're doing more thorough maybe not more thorough inspections than what we did before we started using the digital process, we're able to share it with the customer on a different level now. So, you know, when the customer sees something on their car and they're going, wait a second, that's my car. Of course, fix it. So yeah, that does translate into sales, most definitely.
So customers are loving it. Give me your best story that has come out of the digital inspection process.
And probably the best story I have, I don't know if it's not a very long story, but it's a client that has been coming to us for a long time. I'll use his first name, Brian, and great client, a longtime customer, and also a techie, I guess you can say. You know, you can tell he's definitely a techie. He's got gadgets in his car, etc. So the first time he came in, and we sent him his inspection by email, I get this email back, and I can only summarize at this point, but he said, wow, this is so cool. You know, he was blown away by it, and he kind of made a little bit of a mention to the value that it has kind of, I guess you can say, it's added to the service that we offer him.
Is he a millennial techie?
If he is, he's barely a millennial. He's not necessarily a youngster, but he's not as, I don't think he's as old as I am.
What the heck? You're not old. So you think a lot about trends. You were telling me on the phone, you think a lot about trends. What are you thinking about?
Let me see if I can nail this down. I mean, trends in the business, trends with clientele.
You may have mentioned service intervals are stretched out.
And the service intervals are stretched out a little further than they used to be. I mean, in when I started this, it was 3 months, 3,000 miles, and sometimes less. And now it's usually the minimum that we're going is 5,000 miles and higher. And, you know, so that does have an effect over time. You know, this is a customer traffic coming through the shop. And as intervals get stretched out, then you see your customer maybe twice a year instead of three times a year like it used to be. So that you know, that definitely has an effect on things.
Talk about trends. Put your crystal ball on. What's the shop of the future, say the next 10 years, going to look like?
I think the shop of the future, by that time, I think we're going to be a lot deeper into the pulse. There'll be a much larger percentage of the services or the cars that we service and repair by then. You know, who knows 10 years from now how we're going to be communicating with clients? Or are we going to be, doing customer authorizations through text, et cetera? You know, I'm sure that will probably happen. There's going to be some definite changes over the next 10 years.
You know, that reminds me to ask you a question. In California, can a customer authorize a repair through text?
Right now, the Bureau of Automotive Repair is under consideration. We're okay with email, but that's as far as it goes. So we can do telephone, we can do in person, or we can do an email. And so right now it is under review by the Bureau, and we believe that soon we'll get authorization to do paperless and texting, etc.
It just seems like a logical outcome with the way our world is so digital today.
Yes. Well, it seems. And unfortunately, even though we'd like to do the texting and in all of that, we still have to follow the law. And that's the tricky part, because the technology goes way faster than the people that control the laws.
I hear you, man. So what do you and your wife do to recharge, to just take a break from the business?
Well, for a long time, we have we have passes at the local Disneyland, you know, California Adventure, and for our family, you know, my wife, my kids, myself, we try to get there at least once a month, and you know, so I take a day off or whatever, and we go there, hang out, and enjoy some food, a few rides, just walk around, have fun. That's kind of what we do to recharge.
Burns your stress off, I bet. Ossie and Mickey.
Yeah, it's fun.
You are in ASCCA, right?
Yes,
and,
I am.
Yeah, and in June of 2016, I believe you were recognized as the ASCCA Member of the Month. And that means that you went above and beyond supporting ASCCA's core principles and programs.
That's right. Yes, and that was a little bit of a surprise to me, too, when that happened. I was very thankful in recognition. I'm sure there's plenty of members out that deserve that. The longer I'm in this business, the more I'm convinced that being a part of a organization like the Automotive Service Councils is extremely important to the business, to me as a manager, et cetera. And, so I was happy to join the board of the local chapter and try to get more involved there. My dad he's been involved in it for years now. So, and then this weekend, I'm actually going out to Sacramento to be sworn in as a board member of the state ASC. So that's a new development, and, we'll see how that goes.
Congratulations. I do know that board likes to party.
Uh-oh. Well, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I hung out with them back at Nace Cars in Anaheim. And, I had a cocktail before I had to head out to my airplane, and I was invited to their little pre-weekend conference, and I got a chance to meet an awful lot of the board members. And, of course, Dave Cusa, who's your incoming new president, I've interviewed.
Yes.
And so many great members out in California that I've had the luxury and the honor to interview. And I'm glad, Nick, you had a chance to be on the podcast. It's just excellent. So
Yeah, it's been a good thing.
So, hey, thanks. Nick Modesti from Modesti's Car Care. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and your stories. Now, one last request. You got any great words of wisdom to share?
Words of wisdom. If you're in the industry and you're, especially if you're new to the industry, I think find yourself a company that you can get training from early on. I spent most of my professional time in this business hands-on learning, and it could have been so much easier, so much sooner had I been involved in some training programs at an early part of my career. So, that's probably one of the best things I could say. There's so much available now compared to even 15 years ago, 20 years ago, as far as training goes. So it's very important.
And so you're really talking about coaching too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? You're really saying, listen, I haven't failed. I'm just smart enough to go out and get help, right? Because there's a lot of guys that say, no, I don't need a business coach. I'm smart.
Yeah, there is a lot of guys like that. And unfortunately, they stay stuck in the same place and they never really move forward, with rare exceptions. So I think the people that reach out that realize that not only do you have to be trained on how to run a business, I mean, we're business people. We're running a people business. We have to be in tune with clients, with how to manage people, how to deal with people, and then the numbers, and then the marketing and all that stuff. And I've not really met any successful shop owners or managers that weren't deeply into training, learning all the time. It's just the way it is.
And there's that, you can be smart, but there's levels of smart. There's levels, right?
That's true. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. Well, great. Hey, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Carm. It's definitely an honor to be here, so I appreciate it.
Thank you. Hey, aftermarketers, thanks for joining us. There's more on Nick Modesty on the show page at remarkableresults.biz/E173. I'm very interested in your ideas, insights, and or comments. Just email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Thanks for helping spread the word on the Aftermarket's premier podcast that delivers powerful insights and stories for you. Entrepreneurs, technicians, distributors, manufacturers, students, and educators are among the many industry professionals that listen each week. So keep sharing the wisdom with your friends and peers. Until next time. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.